Hey, Vink. Vink? Hello, Vink.
Well, what's this one do? Hey.
Who is this? Hi.
Oh, that's strange.
What's strange?
This thing on the desk is talking to me.
Disc? What? Who is this?
Who's this?
I was looking for Vink. I'm John, and we do this podcast called the Famicom Dojo Podcast.
It's that podcast full of all the lies.
Well, you know, only when Vink is wrong. They aren't really lies, just... Who is this?
Respect your elders, boy. You can call me sir. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Vink.
So, what you been playing lately?
Oh, well, nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah.
Kinda me too.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, the occasional iPhone game or something, but...
You know, even that much I'm not doing lately. Are we even gamers if we don't game?
I don't know. Like, I still identify myself as a gamer.
It's true.
I have in my closet at least 4 gaming-related t-shirts. I think that would make me more of a gamer than any other thing I could identify myself with. In fact, I don't have a single t-shirt that identifies me as a father. or a husband.
Oh my, that's not even like a World's Greatest Dad t-shirt. Even that would be probably in Japanese, Ichiban, Sekai no Ichiban no Otosan, something like that.
Yeah, I don't think Japanese people would wear a t-shirt like that.
That's true.
It would be like father who works hard but leads a respectable life.
True.
Or something like that. They're not so the world's greatest anything is okay. There's a cultural difference for you.
No kidding.
Whereas like, for like. The hiring process for people and things. Mm-hmm. You know, an American interviewing is like, I'm best at all of these things. I am super great at this. I love these things. What are your weaknesses? My weakness is that I care too much.
Oh my God, that's such a cliche.
Whereas like a Japanese person, they'd be like, so do you think you can handle this job responsibility? They'd be like, well, perhaps. I don't have a lot of experience, but I'm willing to learn. Whereas the Americans can be like, yeah, I'm a master at all of that. But here's what's actually going to happen. The Japanese people who go on saying, like, my English is so poor, I wonder if you can even understand what I'm saying in English.
Right.
Meanwhile, I've run across tons of foreigners who are like, I'm fluent. I mostly learn from anime.
Uh-huh.
You know? They
can work baka into any sentence.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's different in America, you know? It's because we expect people to be perfect right away, and so you have to lie, essentially.
Yeah, kind of. But so, anyway, gamer. Yeah, that's what I am, I think.
I think so, too, but, like, how long before you're considered not a gamer anymore? It's, like, 40 years? 10 years? 4 months?
Like, if I called myself a skydiver, but I hadn't skydived in 3 weeks, I think I could still safely call myself a skydiver. Or a surfer. I could go the whole winter without surfing.
Well, if you're in the southern climes, winter doesn't do much to hamper your surfing, I wouldn't think. Or do I not know enough about the tides? See? Show my ignorance right away. I don't know. I don't surf, obviously.
Sean was misinformed.
I live in the middle of the country. I mean, there's like Lake Superior, but you wouldn't want to go surfing there.
But anyway, is it just because there's nothing to play?
That can't be it, because... Well, I have my pile of shame still.
Don't go into the pile of shame. We know there were lots of good games before, but like, look at games that have been released in the last 6 months or games that are going to be released in the next 6 months. What do you want to play? I want to play Lollipop Chainsaw.
Was it that recently?
Yeah.
That was longer ago.
It just came out like last month.
Oh yeah, I knew that because people were talking about that. It's like, oh yeah, saw that at Tokyo Game Show, whatever. Yawn.
And I want to play Last Story.
Yeah, that's coming out. That's right.
Thank you, Project Rainfall.
Yes. What's left?
And
now? Pandora's Tower. Yeah.
Like we've mentioned on a couple other podcasts, you've picked me up a copy of Xenoblade, right?
Sure, I have.
I know the postage takes a long time, but I'm kind of wondering. It's been about 4 months now. I mean, I'll just keep sitting by my mailbox every single day, hoping, praying for that package to arrive.
Okay. I am best at all things, even the mail.
Yes. Yes, you are. But that, I think that's even, is that within the last 6 months? I think so. I keep getting confused because it had the, you know, the Japanese release and then the European release. And then,
right.
And of course, and have you noticed the marketing for Last Story? It is like,
I haven't noticed any marketing for Last Story, to be honest.
Well, yeah, there's not. Well, you have to be a pretty big nerd to have to come across.
Are you saying that I'm not a pretty big nerd, sir?
You're a bigger nerd than me in many of the common nerdy things, but when it comes to video games, you're kind of normal.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, all in all, I think if there was a battle of the nerds, you'd win, because I don't know anything about comic books, and that's like a prerequisite.
It's true.
And you probably know a lot more about sci-fi than me.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm into the kind of weird sci-fi, like the Red Dwarf and stuff like that.
Well, so am I. I got into that through some mutual college friends.
Well, of course, you actually put a Red Dwarf reference into the last Famicom Dojo episode.
I did.
Let's see if anybody knows what it is. Let's see if they... One person in our comments caught the Red Dwarf reference. Yes. But
didn't say what it was or where it was.
Yeah, I didn't say what it was or where it was. So let's see if anyone... Let's see how big of geeks our fans are.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, let's. So there's our challenge for this week. But anyway, Exceed is the one who's translating it, by the way.
Right.
Even though it was made by Nintendo, Nintendo took a pass on it.
Yeah,
good
wow.
Good job, Nintendo. A game directed by the creator of Final Fantasy. You know?
Yeah.
With the guy who did the music from Final Fantasy. And you have decided, nah, we're going to release some minigame compilations.
Well, I mean, to be fair, JRPGs don't fare incredibly well in the States.
No, they don't. I know. All I know is that they're better games than most of the crap out there. And this one just looks fantastic too. But anyway, they're basically marketing it as like the last big hurrah for the Wii. Do you think that's accurate?
Well, I think so. I expect the Wii U to be out this year, and you know, the list for the launch titles for that is shaping up, I guess. I don't really see anything on there that's particularly exciting.
I guess we're kind of at the end of a system right now.
Yeah.
Now let's think of some of the other end of the systems.
I remember the end of the N64. What were the last two games I got? I got Conker's Bad Fur Day, and I got Pokemon Puzzle League, which is essentially, you know, a Pokemon branded version of Panel de Pon, previously known as Tetris Attack on Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
So that was a fun game. I played both of those a lot, but yeah, there wasn't a lot going on at the end of the N64. What was happening at the end of the GameCube? Not a lot much there either. These are all Nintendo systems, mind you.
Am I right in thinking that the last game released for the N64, or at least very close to the end, was like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 or something?
Man, I don't know.
But like near the end, yeah, their release thing was like a game a month or something. Yeah. I mean, the last one I remember, the last high-profile title in my mind is, yeah, Conker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, then there was the Dreamcast. The system ended before the games dried up.
It's true. That's true. Kind of like the Neo Geo, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, the Neo Geo kept going for, like, what, 7 years after they stopped actually releasing the hardware?
Mm.
Last Blade was supposed to be the last game for the system. Hence, the Last Blade. Well, I mean not for SNK or anything, but like for that hardware, they were going to move on to the Hyper Neo Geo 64.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, should I talk about that now? I brought it up last time. Yeah. Too. I'd really like to do an episode about it.
Well, it can't hurt to bring it up because, you know, I've been discovering interesting things about stuff I didn't know about before. So for instance, anyone like following the Facebook feed,
you've been posting a lot on that lately.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured it would, you know, we had like a really good week and then I wanted to keep riding the wave as it were. And, you know, we're above average still for people interacting with it and everything. But, yeah, no, I saw something on Twitter from Screw Attack about some rare Mario games. And apart from the weirdness of the revelation that Hudson Soft actually didn't do a port, like an actual full-on original-ish Mario game for...
Didn't we mention that in one of the podcasts?
Did we? Because I think I would have... I just listened to that one again.
No, actually. It's in an upcoming episode.
Is it?
Remember, I was revising some of your show notes, and I'm like, because you had listed like everywhere that Mario was made. You listed like the Game Boy ports and blah 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 blah. And I said you missed the one on the Sharp. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, the Sharp X1, which was released in '82 apparently, and then there was an NEC 8801, which was released in 1981. Both predating the Famicom, which is probably the only reason I can think of why Nintendo would permit anyone, especially
Donkey
not themselves.
Kong. Donkey Kong's on everything.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah, that was on Atari and stuff, right? Yeah, but you know, still, like again, these are like consoles that predated the Famicom and the NES. So like, but these games like Mario Brothers came out in 1985. So like, this port came out in '86, and for an older console that I assume almost no one used by that time. But well, I don't know a lot about these old systems, but the crazy thing was is that NEC and Hudson Soft later, you know, teamed up to make the PC Engine like the next year.
Yep.
You know, and then
we've cracked the code by making a non-scrolling version of Mario.
and then also that next year was the Famicom Disk System, and Sharp partnered with Nintendo to make, well, partnered with might be a strong word, but they were authorized to make the Twin Famicom.
It all comes together, you know, this whole history of gaming, it all fits together. You just need to get all the pieces.
There's so many pieces. I didn't know about all these connections until I saw that video, and I was like, oh my god. Because, you know, I know that there are other like PCs and stuff, like less popular things that we never even saw in the States in a lot of cases, I bet, but it's just like, wow, yeah, okay. You know what else Sharp did?
What?
They made a Famicom television combo unit.
Oh yeah.
In two different sizes. I had no idea. And they made one for the US and NES variety. And they made one for the Super Famicom that addressed some issues with the Famicom version, because you couldn't plug the disk system into that slot because of where they positioned it under the TV.
Yeah. Well, up until a few years ago, even during my modern time in Japan, there were still kiosks in the Lawson chain of convenience stores that had the Super Famicom slot. You could still, well, I don't know if they were functional anymore for writing games, but like after the Super Famicom ended, they still kept up their writing cartridge. Have we ever talked about this? The blank cartridges that you could write to for Super Famicom?
Did I know about this? This is new to me.
Oh, yeah. I've got... No, I don't think I have one, but I can get one from Hero Shop. Yeah. They had like six slots where you could write little games to them. Of course, I wouldn't be able to use one now because the kiosks... I think the ability to write for them was incapacitated a number of years ago. But up until like 3 years ago, they still had them in the like the convenience stores in my town. And I was going to come in with a video camera and tape it. And the time I brought my video camera in was the time that they got their new kiosk.
Wow. Oh.
And it just went chain wide. But I was always confused because, you know, this is like 2004, 2005, 2006 that they still had Super Famicom slots on their this machine that also printed out like concert tickets and, you know, it looked like an ATM.
Yeah,
you know, this should all go into episodes, really.
Really, I know, but it's so much easier to just turn on, flip a switch, talk about it. And according to one video commenter or Facebook commenter, podcasts are boring. So I guess it's time to close up shop. No more podcasts. Too boring to live, I guess. So sad.
Who said the podcasts were boring? What? Facebook commenter?
No, it was on Twitter, actually. Sorry. Yeah. You know, to each their own, I guess, if you don't like audio. I guess you can't see a lot of things, obviously, when it's just a podcast like this.
That's great, because I look a mess right now. I just got done with 5 days of camping.
And of course, I never wear any pants. Wait, you were camping?
Yeah, I was camping for the last 5 days. Well, running a camp, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty tired, to tell you the truth. So, like, I haven't really done any gaming this week. Let me take that back. I've done lots of gaming, but not any video gaming.
Right.
I will tell you one thing, though. Uh-huh. Some of those kids were going through withdrawal. I mean, these are Japanese city kids, you know, and they're like, okay, we're at camp. There's a campfire. There's games. Where's my Pokemons?
Where are my monster hunters? Maybe? I don't know.
Well, these kids are probably more of the Pokemon than. But interesting enough, one of the kids, he's, I don't know, 11 years old, he said that his favorite video game was Call of Duty.
That is really weird.
And I'm like, I mean, in America that wouldn't be so weird, but like, the series isn't particularly popular here.
Right.
And he was just like, he's like, I love first-person shooters. Those are the type of games I like, which are like notoriously not very popular in Japan.
Mm.
I mean, they're not. It's not like they're the, you know, they're avoided like the plague. The Call of Duty series sells 200,000, 300,000 copies, but like compared to like the popular genres, you know, they're. Here, I'll tell you how they sell. They probably sell as well as JRPGs sell in America.
Ooh, yeah, that's a pretty apt comparison, I think.
Actually, I think that's a real accurate comparison, you know. But yeah, so that was very interesting. But yeah, kids, it was very strange because at the camp, you know, we didn't allow, you know, any games at all. Or cell phones or anything like that. And some of these kids just were really like, I need to play a game.
That's too bad. I mean, I was only away for a weekend, mind you. But up at a cabin without any internet access. Well, I mentioned this last week. You know, we talked about... this is a really bad example because I did bring my DS with me. But I couldn't use my phone for the whole weekend, and that's the thing I would go through withdrawals for, because I actually hadn't played the DS in months and months and months and months. And I managed somehow, probably because I had my DS. All right, bad example. Moving on.
Awesome. But yeah, we get by. But I don't know, like, there's not a lot coming out right now that I'm excited about. I mean, let me take that back. I'm excited about the Wii U. I'm very interested in that.
I don't know, because I keep seeing things like I guess the version of Madden being released for it is gimped, but I didn't read much past the headline about what that meant. yeah. What else? I'm not sure what to think about their downloadable capability, because, you know, the Wii has like half a gigabyte for all system memory of any kind. And yeah. I was reading up on what Mass Effect 3 is going to look like on the system, and how the gamepad's being used so that you don't have to like pause the action, which is a really cool idea, and puts it on relatively equal footing with like the voice commands with Kinect, I think.
Yeah.
So like the extended cut DLC is going to come out for that, like on the disc, but like the newer paid stuff won't, which makes sense, I guess, but it also implies that you can get the DLC stuff and that there's some kind of storage option on the Wii U that would accommodate the usually like gigabyte or larger sorts of DLC that comes with Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know what that means, because no one knows the full specs, I don't think. So I'm apprehensive. I just remember that first year, because I've been thinking about 2006 a lot, both being the proto version of the show, and just what an interesting time it was for gaming. And I loved the Wii for the first few months I had it, and then I guess we'd explore what happened in previous shows, but I just wish that love hadn't died. And I am certainly far less excited leading up to the Wii U than I was for the Wii.
Well, do you think it's because of the Wii U hardware itself, or just that you're in a different place in your life now?
Oh, definitely a lot of that's the latter. I'm not too concerned with like the horsepower being only marginally better than the current generation, just because like I play games now and it's like I don't feel like the graphics are lacking at this point. Maybe developers feel that way, but there aren't a lot of experiences I feel like I can't have. I don't know. Maybe that's just from being a gamer for 30 years. Well, maybe not quite 30 years.
I guess. I'm really hoping that it's going to be the game that gets, I mean, that this system's going to get me back into the console gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, though. We have one TV in our house,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a dad, and I'm a husband, so I'm competing against, you know, vapid reality programming on one side and Sesame Street on the other,
wait,
you know?
Wait a second. You get reality programming in Japan?
Well, depends. Well, like, it's different. It's different. It's like, by reality, I mean, like, boring. I mean, like there's it's all cooking shows or bits where some celebrity goes and visits a restaurant or a store or a factory or something and interviews people. Like, it's like the lowest of the low budget type of stuff.
Right.
The TV dramas are okay, but like, I don't know, even them, they're really, really predictable. And but I don't know. Most of the television I watch on my computer through Hulu. But I like American television.
Yeah.
Here's a pro tip, guys. Like, and I hope we don't lose viewers because of this, but like, I don't really watch or pay much attention to anime at all.
Yeah, that's okay though, because we're 30 something.
Well, I know, but like, I live in Japan, and a lot of people are like, wow, you can watch all the new anime. And I'm like, yeah, I can, I guess.
Unsubbed.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't even matter. Like, you know, if one wanted to see anime with the internet now, everything that's released is subbed within, like,
right,
2 hours of it right. coming out or something.
Gee, God, do you remember, like, ordering fan subs from
people
that come back on VHS?
Yeah.
And it took them weeks, like one guy weeks and weeks and weeks, and he can only do one tape at a time. Oh.
Yep.
Nerds.
But you know what? Then when you got it, you cared a lot more about it. You know, even if a show wasn't particularly great, you had to pay for it or wait for it, and so you'd watch it, you'd like it, even if it wasn't particularly great.
Mm.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, it's true.
But I mean, that's what is it though? Is it like, I was trying to think about this the other day. Does new anime suck?
I wouldn't know. I don't watch it.
Because
I think old anime sucks.
But like, didn't you start an anime convention?
Didn't you start it first?
Don't.
I just tagged along.
I know. It's still going. Wasn't it like a few weeks ago or something?
No. Yeah. It was back in May, like the first week of May. Number 12 is coming up next year, though. Middle of April.
That's crazy.
NoBrandCon, for those who are curious, NoBrandCon.com. Good people still working there.
Very good people. But that's the thing. Like, I tried to watch some anime a few months, years ago. I don't know. Fairly recently. I tried to watch some of the newer stuff, and I just got really bored with it. But I don't know. I don't know if that's... But, like, I've watched some older stuff. Like, I was watching Evangelion a little while ago, and I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. But I don't know if I liked it because... I don't know if I had seen it for the first time today whether I would have liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's nostalgic for me. Because I remember the story, and I remember the music, and, you know, it puts me back in that place when I first watched it.
Yeah, it's different.
And I think the same thing can be said for a bunch of... For video games. I would really like to do an experiment sometime.
Okay.
I would like to like just go and I mean, I'll never be able to do something like this, but I'd like to be able to go to like a school and set up like a Famicom on a TV and like let the kids play it and see what they, you know, see if anything, if they're even interested in it.
You have to use your hands. That's like a baby's toy.
Exactly. But no, like, put on some of, like, the all-time best games ever. Right. You know, like, right. Mario and... that's it.
Well, maybe I'm kidding myself. And, you know, I can't even pretend to think that, like, the graphics would really be compelling. But I still think that video game music at the time was not only good for what they could do on the hardware, but was just inherently good. And which is why chiptunes are so popular, but maybe that's all fueled by nostalgia for all I know. And, you know, we both have kids. Maybe we can run this experiment on our own children.
But yeah, like that's a really good example. Now, one of our listeners, recently, well, I don't know if he listens to our podcast, but he's a viewer on our YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And he does chiptunes. There's Dragon in his name somewhere. Sorry, I can't remember it right now. And shout out to all of our listeners in Poland.
Ah, yes, Poland.
There might be a couple. If you're from Poland,
there's one.
No,
there's one because he told us there was one.
Yes, but he's still a student or whatever. So he's doing chiptunes. So that means that he wasn't actually probably, you know, alive when chiptunes was the thing, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But he's doing chiptunes now because there's something just very interesting about it. And then there's, of course, bands like YCMK. I almost called them the YMCA. A Japanese group who does chiptunes mixed with modern, with like vocals. Have you heard these guys?
No.
I saw them in concert, oh gosh, a number of years ago. When I was the year between the year that you came, the Tokyo Game Show between the two Tokyo Game Shows you came to.
Well, there were three of them between the two I came to.
But I only went to one of them.
Ah.
I took a 2-year hiatus.
Okay, so 2009.
The year after the year you came.
2008. Yeah.
So I went, I saw Shokotan, I saw YMCK, I saw Oral Vampire, A-U-R-L, just don't
go there. Okay, yeah.
Aural. Whatever. Yeah, but the big one for me was Grasshopper Sound Team was there.
Okay.
You know, the people who do the music for the Grasshopper games, like No More Heroes and stuff. And mm-hmm. I was in the front row because I got to be, I just bought a ticket like everybody else and I was waiting in line, but I still had my press badge from Tokyo Game Show and they're like, "Your press, come with me." And I felt so stupid because I was just coming to see the show to see the show.
Right.
And so I didn't have any of my recording equipment with me. But, like, I could have taped the whole show. I could have had a record of, you know, because normally at a concert you can't tape the show.
Right, right.
You know, they'll knock a recording device right out of your hand, but I could have been pressed and I could have taped the entire thing. And all I had with me was this tiny 2-megapixel point and shoot.
Oh, no.
You know, and I took a couple tiny clips of it, but... Ah, it's a great show. Grasshopper Team was awesome. There was a girl dressed as Travis Touchdown in cosplay,
no!
Like near the front.
Awesome. It was,
I don't know. You know,
not awesome.
It's a boy character. It was a girl, but it makes me feel things. Well, that I don't know how to explain.
Crossplay is okay if it's a girl playing a guy. Otherwise, no, I don't know. That's completely not okay to say.
I
tend to prefer the crossplay where the girls play guys. How about that?
Okay, there. That's better.
That's better.
But anyway, YMCK was great because they've got... Did I say YMCK? YC? Ah!
Yeah.
Too many letters. Four is letters. Too many letters.
I can hear you clicking, by the way.
I know. I'm going to my playlist right now to see if I've got to get it right. That's YMCK. Okay, YMCK.
YMCK.
Yellow, magenta, cobalt, K. Those are the four colors from Four Color Rebellion.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, that's what that means. Because it was originally a comic book site.
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
It lasted about 3 posts, and then it became about the Game Boy. Not the Game Boy, about Nintendo.
Nice. And ever since, still around. New front page, looking pretty sexy.
Yeah. When's our video going up on there?
I think... this next one, by the time this comes out, will have already gone up on it. And right. If I'm wrong, the next one, they can't possibly ignore.
Well, there we go. Good to know. But anyway, but great. They got a lead singer, and all their music videos are done in kind of an 8-bit style, like that episode of Community.
Yeah, oh my, it's more of a 16-bit style, but I'll let it.
That
pass.
Was, yeah, but I mean that type of thing, or yeah. Like, no, I'm not going to bring up the other thing that the other music video that's done in like a retro style.
Oh come on,
Trucker's Delight. Don't watch it.
Ah, why would you say that?
Don't watch it,
kids.
No.
The internet
no,
is full
no.
of terrors.
Don't watch. No, now if I say don't watch it, everyone's going to go watch it. Go
look
ahead.
Look what
watch
you
it.
Everyone, no. Watch it. No, that's an endorsement. We can't.
This video is not for kids.
It's
and it
true.
Really shouldn't be for anybody.
Is this a podcast even for kids? Do kids even listen to podcasts?
Kids don't listen to podcasts.
All right, then. I think we're safe.
Hopefully, not hopefully, but actually, I don't think many people listen to our podcast. They just want videos, so.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Videos are fun. We like videos.
Yeah, videos are pretty cool.
But anyway, their videos are awesome. their stage show, they had the 8-bit videos going on, and then they playing in, playing like, I don't know, like hand, like custom made instruments. While this singer sang, really cool show. But, you know, they're new and they're fairly popular. But I guess maybe popular in just like the nerd type community. But that's weird. But how can someone feel nostalgic for something that never happened in their lifetime?
That's a good question. So the 70s were just slightly before my time. And
okay.
I tend, well, maybe nostalgic's not quite the right word, but even though everything I've seen of the 70s is dirty and grimy and bleak and terrible, there was some really good music. Like stuff that I grew up with that was, even though like the 70s were like before my time, you know, were around in the 80s. If you didn't like all the crazy, empty, poppy nonsense, you could listen to some, you know, Yes for about 20 minutes for one song or whatever. Actually, they were a band from they started in the 60s officially. Well, a lot of their work was in the 70s. But
yeah.
You know, I tend to like own clothing items that are like browns and tans and other sorts of color matchups reminiscent of that era. Like my son today, it was a hand-me-down shirt, but he had like a polo with like something like that, and I was like, all right, this is good. So it's maybe it's just because like everyone I knew as adults at the time like weren't quite out of the 70s yet, and they were wearing them in the 80s. So maybe it does part nostalgia. I'm not answering this question very well.
But I mean, I would really like to hear from some of our from some of our younger gamers, actually,
yeah,
about, because anyone listening to our podcast, Famicom Dojo, who's like under the age of 20, you know, they missed it the first time around.
Yeah,
what compelled them to catch it? You know.
Yeah, we lived through the stuff and we just miss it. So, well, I wouldn't say miss it's quite right, because we can still go back to it, but.
Then again, we never played Famicom as kids.
Okay, or that's a very good point. Like
we played the NES, but yeah.
Just like for me, learning the history of what was going on, and like the reason I wanted to do the show was to share that history, because it's like there's just a lot of just mind screwy things that you never realized.
Yeah,
like, you know, me learning today that, or me learning this last week that Hudson Soft made a Mario game for one of their partners and then one of their eventual competitors. That's just crazy.
Oh yeah,
I mean, who would have thought? So yeah.
So that's the thing. We are becoming nostalgic for things that we never did.
Yeah, but I mean, it's attached to things that we did experience.
I suppose.
It's true, but I just like the form factor of the Famicom. Even though I had never seen one until about 2003, which was the 20th anniversary, come to think of it.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just interested to see if this experience is unique. And really, we're at the end of a generation right now for the Wii. And probably next year, we'll be hitting end generation for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Are people going to look back on these systems with the same degree of nostalgia that we look back on the Famicom with?
Oh, I'm going to. I love my 360. It's an amazing system. Like I didn't really care for the original Xbox, and I didn't really care for the 360 going into it. But then something just happened in around 2007 that just made it my go-to system. And it's like the day that the hard drive dies or whatever, and I can't port my stuff over to another 360 because of all like the DRM is going to be a sad day for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, these old 8-bit games are going to be the same forever, kind of frozen in time. But I don't know. Maybe technology will find some way to, you know. I hate to say that the hacker community will be our savior once again, but that yeah. might be the way it goes.
Yeah, like how you can't play certain online games unless you do private servers, which they were never designed to do in the first place. Yeah.
Yep. Phantasy Star Online for the Dreamcast still yeah. lives on. Not anything officially from Sega, but right. you know, there's ways to play it.
Yeah, the only way you can get like quote unquote downloadable Samba tracks anymore, because they're all on disc, is to hack your VMU. Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Oh my gosh. I wonder. So, I mean, this is a very meandering topic right here, right now. And I guess I'd just like to hear people's thoughts on games in general, how your gaming life has changed over the years. And whether new games hold up well, or even if old games held up well, but we're just looking through everything through the tinge of nostalgia. We've brought most of these topics up before, but I think I'm personally reevaluating how I feel about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And if you've listened to the podcast and haven't been keeping up with our weekly videos, there's a third new one up right now, and last week's was the App Blaster that we did a thing on for Tokyo Game Show last year, and then never released the video. But then you found one in Tokyo when you were back there for a trip.
Yep.
So that's pretty exciting. So that's chronicled in the video there, and you can go watch that.
Do you think that one turned out okay?
Long-time
viewers might, or even. No, a lot of our viewers might not know it, but almost all of the editing that goes into Famicom Dojo is done by Sean.
That's true.
Very nearly everything, and my level of confidence in it, like, which is crazy because I was the video editing major, but like, I don't have any really great equipment right now, so I just wanted to try my hand at it, so the Dojo to Go videos are kind of that. So if you see one that says Dojo on the go,
on the go,
it? Yeah,
yeah, because I was making the same mistake, like getting all the stuff set up and naming it. And I was like, oh man, I actually posted it wrong on Twitter once, I think, before I fixed it.
But yeah, that's my take at editing. Yeah, it's not as It's definitely not as polished as the video Sean's puts
out. Well, I've had 5 years of like constant practice. although you know, I do other non-Famicom Dojo videos, so if someone went, hey, I didn't see a video for 2 years, which isn't true, by the way, there's other things that I do. So, yeah, you know, it happens. You just got to get back in the swing of things, and I think it was fine. So,
well, there. Thank you very much.
And there is another one waiting in the wings for those who are curious if you want to see more of those, although I don't know when it'll come out.
Oh, yeah. I did do two of those. Yeah, so, like, yeah, more's coming. More is constantly on the way. Thank you, everyone, for all your support throughout the 2 years since our last video. And
oh, God. I don't want to like add the fuel to the fire to that rumor, because it's not okay. It is true that episode 2 of season 2 was in like what, October or November of 2010.
Yes,
that's true. That's definitely true. But then we had a couple of specials in between. We had the Core Graphics follow up. We had like a baker's dozen of videos from Tokyo Game Show, and then episode 3. So okay, that's true. But, yeah.
We don't have to tell it to our podcast listeners, though. These people are the cream of the crop.
That's right.
You hear that, podcast listeners? We love you.
Yeah. Are you eating cream right now? Because I I suddenly want some yogurt. There was this guy at the farmer's market who gave me a free container of like grass-fed Greek-style yogurt, and it was so good. I'm going to go end this podcast and eat some yogurt now.
So if you have anything you'd like to say about yogurt, Please visit us on FamicomDojo.tv. Leave a yogurt-related post on our Facebook.
Yeah.
Tweet something about yogurt to @FamicomDojo.
Yes. Yes.
You can leave a yogurt-related message to us at, what's that number?
608-492-1923.
All right. You can download the latest episodes featuring yogurt or not from iTunes or yes. Zune Marketplace.
Maybe Zune, but definitely on iTunes. And if you want to leave a yogurt-related comment about the show and rate it and let everyone else know what you think, because that's how we get more new listeners, is the more people interact with us on iTunes, the more iTunes says, oh, this show's a good show to watch. Also, Stitcher Radio, we are free streaming on there with delicious yogurt goodness every time the new episode comes out. So if you don't have like the Stitcher app or just want to listen to it on the website there, that's a good way to stream it if for some reason syncing a podcast is too much work.
Streaming yogurt.
Yogurt stream directly to my yogurt app.
So anyway, that's all for Famicom Dojo this week, and I'm going to go take a nap.
Okay. Until next week, the dojo is
yogurt.
Famicom Dojo.